I spied a jolly mountain, I chased it to the sea. I waded in with a banana skin and had it for my tea. I swam across the channel and climbed up onto France. I said the 12 times table, the French for gloves is Gantz. Oh, jelly, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, jelly, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh, jelly, I love you truly dear. Oh, jelly, I love you cheap as well. D'accord. One peck equals 2 gallons. The jam's boiling over and the gas tap's stuck. Soak it up with the floor mop and squeeze it back into the jelly pan. The jumble sales on Saturday, and everybody loves my jam. The unique flavour, Dwight. Don't you think that's a bit much, Corinne? Not at all. Country people love their peck of dirt a day. They're never sick. Craig Marriott, I didn't expect to find you here.
Well, you have.
It's a long time since we had a serious talk.
I don't recollect ever having had a serious talk with you, and it's usually filth.
That's just my way of examining things under the microscope to see if they stand up when you take their clothes off.
Oh, come on, you just enjoy fooling around.
Bless you, Marriott. You're the first person that's had the courage to say that to my face.
Someone had to tell you. Righty-ho, I'm off.
Good thing nobody heard. Who's that knocking at my door? 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 Nobody's knocking at your door. 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 Who's that not knocking at my door? 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 Nobody's not knocking at your door. Nobody's not knocking at your door. Nobody's not knocking, knock, 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 knocking at your door. Nobody's not knocking at your door.
If a woman says, "Get off my foot," in a foreign tongue, you just keep standing on it, not knowing what she means. You might, misunderstanding her, press even harder, mistaking her anguish for ecstasy. To illustrate this, Dylan Edwards, the translator, will say, "Get off my foot," in 3 different languages. Try to imagine that he's saying it to you.
Neshlapayte mne na nogu. Оставь мою ногу в покое. Ксекумбису аптоподиму.
Did it communicate? Here is another message.
Слезьте из носу. Оставь мой нос в покое. Ксекумбису аптимитиму.
That was "get off my nose." The languages were Czech, Russian and Greek, in that order. Now that you are accustomed to their music, here is a last example.
Slestemnes nohi a slestemnes nosovi na tvrdle mesko. Astav moj nos I moju nogu v pakoje, idiot. Ksekubisu aptopodi ki aptimitimu ahrije.
That was, get off my foot and my nose, you ignorant rat. I chose the words in this sentence deliberately, as the clichés in English are not the same as their counterparts in other languages. Thank you, Dylan Edwards. The judge's parcel. Hello, Judge.
Hello, Ivor.
What have you got there, Judge?
In my parcel.
What have you got in your parcel, Judge?
Justice, Ivor. Justice.
Let me see it.
Not out in the street here. I'll show you if you can take me somewhere where I can show you it.
It's only 3/4 of a mile along the road to the railway station. There's a very quiet waiting room, the men's waiting room. All the men go to the general waiting room to look at women.
Very well.
When we reached the waiting room, the judge set the parcel on the table. Hurry, Judge, open it.
Patience, Ivor. These knots are a bit tricky, and I don't want to damage the string. Now then, look. Justice.
It was a large bottle, a 2-gallon bottle with a narrow pourer and a tiny cup hanging from the handle. Is this justice?
Yes, this is justice.
How does it work?
You dispense it through the pourer into the couplet, and then before you go into the court to judge people, you quaff it.
And does it always make you give the right decision?
Oh, yes, this is 100% justice. No filler in this.
I went down on my knees before the judge and clasped his striped trousers. Judge, I looked up into his face. Judge me. His face became lined and grim.
I've had a hard day, Ivor, he said.
He took the bottle and through the narrow pourer poured a little justice into the cup and he handed it to me.
Here, Ivor, judge yourself.
Lemonade.
Look, look, the sun is setting, the moon is rising, the stars are getting ready to glimmer. I've just had a bath, I've just had a shave, I've rubbed on my favourite scent, I've washed down a pie and chips with a lemonade, and darling, I'm waiting for you. The sun has set, the stars are out, I hear your feet on the mat. Hello, dear, it's dark outside, the moon's in the sky, would you like a glass of lemonade? How about a walk? I'll show you the stars, I'll kiss you in the dark.
Have you eaten a pie and chips?
Yes.
Forget about the kiss in the dark. I'll just have the lemonade, thanks.
Scratch my back. Scratch my back, mister. This is from an old man of 82 wearing a greasy old faded pink overcoat. I shrank from his coat with distaste. Look, sir. I've just gone and cut my nails. Ah, he said, I'm in agony. I thought, poor man. Tell you what, I said, if you care to wait till my nails grow, I'll give you a good scratch. Oh, he said, how long does it take for your nails to grow? I'm in agony. Well, maybe a week, I said. A week? And he looked around despairingly, but there was no one else there. All right, he said. So we sat down and watched my nails growing. Every day, every now and again, he would look down at his own nails, which were long and filthy and cracked, and try to get them round to his back. But, of course, he couldn't get them near the itchy places. The first couple of days, we talked pleasantly together. Small talk. The weather. The weather was the big topic. You see, we were sitting on the curb with our feet in the gutter, and it was pouring. But we knew that as long as we stayed where we were, the stone on which we were sitting would remain dry, albeit cold. On the fifth day, I became restless. From the condition of my nails, I knew that in a couple of days I'd have to scratch this woman's back. "Look here," I said, "why don't you rub your back against the wall?" She looked at me, hurt. She'd been looking forward for 5 days to a good scratch, and here was I trying to pan her off on a wall. "No," she whispered, trying to keep her temper as well as she could. "It wouldn't get between my blade bones." I submitted to her logic. Sixth day came. It had been raining steadily all these 6 days. I hadn't slept very much. I didn't feel like sleeping much anyway, with the rain pouring down on me. We were both quite wet, but, you know, when you sit out in the rain for 6 days, it doesn't seem to matter any more about it raining. And I felt myself becoming very calm and thoughtful, and I think the woman did too. The seventh day dawned, and as soon as it was light enough, I looked at my nails. They were long. They were sharp. I turned to the woman. I felt like a martyr, a bit smug and noble. "Okay," I said. "Present your back." She looked full at me. I couldn't read her face. The writing was illegible. "My back stopped itching, thanks all the same." She stretched luxuriously into her mustard twinsuit and staggered away into the dawn. I looked after her in honest admiration. What a stoic! But what is this? She turns and with a look of agony staggers back. Quick as thought, I pull out my scissors and cut my nails.
"Mr. Cutler, there's a woman in here who says you asked her to be on the show."
"Oh, crumbs. What's her name?"
"She's a Miss Crewe, and she's just flown in from Crewe."
"Oh, her. She'd best come through."
"Hello."
"Well, what do you do?"
"I can dance, and I can sing. And I can do the Highland Fling."
"Can you talk?"
"I can talk the hind leg off an ass."
"Mr. Cargill, is there a donkey in the props department?"
"Probably at the TV centre."
"It's got to be a real one. You can't talk a wooden leg off."
"She's being difficult, Mr. Cutler. Are you sure you want her in the show?"
"She's come a long way. Crewe. I'll try her out without an ass. But I don't think there's enough room in episode one to show her paces. I'll try and fit her into the next one."
"It's up to you."
"I don't think the producer likes me."
No, he just thinks you're going to be difficult."
"I'll show him who's going to be difficult."
"You'll show him nothing except competence, plus a bit of magic, or you're out in your ear."
"Look, I came all the way from Crewe."
"And I expect a bit of consideration and respect. Well, behave yourself and you'll get it. You don't realise what an honour it is to work with me."
"I'm off. I've never been so insulted."
"Good riddance."
"How about my expenses? My plane fare and taxes?"
"And your meals, don't forget."
"Well?"
"Have you a contract?"
"Have you got to have a contract?"
"Sounds like you'll have to whistle for your expenses."
"Don't you worry, Mr. Ivor Cutler. I'll be back."
"Don't forget to tell the commissioner."
"Who's that, Mr. Cutler?"
"The flower of British womanhood, a thistle. She went off, but she'll be back. I thought you'd like another woman in the show. It must be lonely, just men."
"Oh, I'm used to it."
"It would mean sharing the prurient male interest."
"I hadn't noticed any up to now, Mr. Cutler. Except for yourself, of course."
"Nature has been kind to me."
"You reckon?"
"Anyway, we'll see.
I spied a jelly mountain, I chased it to the sea. I waded in with a banana skin and had it for my tea. I swam across the channel and climbed up onto France. I said the 12 times table, the French for gloves is Gantz. Oh, jelly, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, jelly, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh, jelly, I love you truly, dear. Oh, jelly, I love you cheap as well. D'accord.